Apparently, Timo already started recording, so I can start with my presentations. Welcome, everyone. My name is Visa Hiltunen, and I'm a senior legal counsel at the Administrative Legal Services here in the University Services. Now my slides should be available in presentation mode. The other really fascinating topic of today, from my perspective, is that which classes do we have and what kind of information belongs to those classes. So I will start with a little bit of background, and from my presentation is from the legal perspective, from why perspective as well. So as a lawyer, it's always nice to start with legal obligations. We are under serious legal obligations to protect information. There are some secrecy obligations in the Act on the Openness of Government Activities, julkisuuslaki in Finnish, and then also there's an obligation in Act on Information Management in Public Administration, tiedonhallintalaki, which states that we can only transfer confidential information using a secure connection. And furthermore, there are GDPR requirements, which I believe everyone has already encountered in their working life. And these requirements mean that we must be aware of the type of the information we process, and we have to process certain information securely. And it doesn't matter if we formally classify or label it. But if we do, life will become easier, so that when a certain document or email has been labeled, everyone else also knows that what kind of information it contains, and is able to use right tools and communication methods. And Purview offers us a technical solution to easily classify information. It only takes two or three clicks to make the classification, and it remains in the file, in the metadata of the file. This is far more easier than writing information in the header or footer of a document. And Purview also helps us in a way that when the label has been inserted in the metadata of a document, then we can have some processing rules which activate when our information systems notice that there's a certain label included in the document. It's also important to note that classification may change over time, so some matters can be confidential when they are being prepared and become public later on, when decisions have been made or other circumstances have changed. And we had a question lately that who is responsible for classifying the information? Who is the university here? And the answer is that we are the university, so everyone is responsible for assessing what kind of information a file contains, and then each one of us should do the labeling accordingly. And these presentations will help you in that work. So let's take a look at the labels we have. We have five main labels, and one of or actually two of those labels have been divided to sub-labels. Some of you might remember that previously we had two protection classes: basic protection and enhanced protection. Those classes have been renamed in order to gain some kind of uniformity with other universities, because confidential and secret are widely used. Confidential is divided into two subclasses, and then we have the new ones: private, public, and internal. But let's take a look at the classes one by one. Private is quite clear. We noticed in the beginning of this purview project that people will have private documents processed using their employer's tools, so it's necessary to have a private label to distinguish private documents from work documents. The only thing here that, in my understanding, needs some assessment is that what are your work duties that might affect the labeling of documents. For some people, some documents of certain type can be work related, and for some people they might be private. Then we go on to public. There are two subcategories or subclasses: open and public by law. Open is the most permissive one. Generally, it means that open information can be available to everyone, or it can be published online, or it might already be there. And spreading open information is beneficial for the university. There might be some names of individuals also in that kind of information, for example, meeting participants, or name of the rector when we inform the general public of our activities. Meeting minutes of the board, for instance, are published online, and the name of the participants can stay there even though the names are personal information as such. Then we have a public by law category. This has been created to ensure that we have a mechanism to record that some documents are public under law, Act on the Openness of Government Activities, julkisuuslaki. And the nature of this information is that it's not actively published, or we might not consider it beneficial for the university to publish that kind of information. But whoever requests information public by law is entitled to receive it. In the public by law category, there cannot be any personal information. Let's say list of names, list of students, or things like that, where we have to assess that if the recipient is entitled to receive such information. So public by law means that can be given to anyone requesting the information, and no need to evaluate the conditions, or no need to evaluate whether the person is entitled to receive it. It means that anyone will be able to get public bylaw information. Then we have internal. This is a category containing information that is available for university employees and grant researchers. The definition is that disclosure to outsiders is discretionary. The threshold is not so high. This is not confidential information as such. So there might be internal information you will be frequently communicating to other universities, for instance. There's one note I want to make here that when you are preparing a matter, you might need to consider that is this a matter that can be already in the preparation phase available to the general university community, or should I label it confidential initially and then change the label as internal after the decisions have been made or the matter has been resolved. I have two more slides, or actually three. Yeah. Confidential and secret classes are still remaining. Initially, when piloting Purview, we had only one class of confidential information. It contained personal data and information that is confidential by law, and that kind of information is subject to technical restrictions under the legal obligations. I mentioned it first under the first slide. But then we quite fast discovered that if everything that contains personal data or information confidential by law is subject to technical requirements, this makes communication much more difficult. For instance, we receive plenty of documents from outsiders using regular email only. And if we have to label that kind of information as confidential, which leads to the fact that it needs to be a regular email has to be replied with secure email, that makes things more difficult. So then we created confidential limited distribution, which is a light version of the confidential label. So when you don't recognize that this information is legally protected, then you can use confidential slash limited distribution. And this is actually our default category. So when you open a new document, it becomes labeled with confidential limited distribution. But in any case, you should assess the contents of the document and relabel it accordingly. If the information belongs to category confidential protected, then you need to assess that if the recipient is entitled to receive that kind of information. The threshold is higher when we go outside the university community or outside our employees. When sharing confidential information between your colleagues, you need only assess whether the person needs that information in their work duties. And if you're coming from researcher side, then you might also need to take into account what kind of processing you have described to your research subjects, and who will be able to access that information. It's often asked that if I refer to confidentiality under law, what are then the legal requirements? And they mostly come from Section 24 of the Act on the Openness of Government Activities. Here are some examples. Research plans and trade secrets are maybe the most common ones. Also, students' exam answer and assignments are confidential under law. There's a link to our guidelines where more information can be found, and there's a comprehensive list also in the Annex 1, which contains the categories of things that are confidential. So here's my last slide. Secret category. This is the most restrictive one. It contains special categories of personal data, so-called sensitive information, health data being the most obvious or most frequently processed one. Then there's an exhaustive list of other confidential information or secret information that's mentioned in Section 24 of the Act on the Openness of Government Activities. For example, criminal records or psychological tests belong to the secret category. And the most severe technical restrictions are related to this category of data. I think it's time to finish my part and let Teijo continue.
All right, thank you, Visa. My name is Teijo Roine. I am from Digital Services and in charge of information security. I will try to explain you what this purview is and what it does. And then after my presentation, there will be still Timo who will show in practice what happens when you have documents to classify. So now I'm trying to share my presentation and you should see it now. This purview, which the long term is Microsoft Purview Information Protection, is a feature that or tool that Microsoft is offering in the cloud services. And it is aimed to help organization classify and protect the data they have, as in our case, what we do have in at the university. One background is which is behind this all classification and implementation of purview is that the Council of Rectors made decision roughly a year ago that all universities will do the classification in future and we are aiming similar kind of classification so that we could share the information without any problems and understand the classification equally. The main object, of course, with this purview is to protect the university data and provide tools that we can use to make this protection and also make some monitoring what comes to the data leakage and so on. Actually, the data can be located in email or cloud, especially in Microsoft Cloud or on our on-premise disks, as well as the devices that we provide from the university to users. And basically, all the measures are targeted to Microsoft tools, which means that when you open files with Office tools or email, then you have this purview feature, that, and you can make the classification for the files. The only exception is currently these PDF files, which are processed with PDF Exchange Editor, and this is only Windows users. In Mac, we do not have this this kind of application currently. And of course, the monitoring what we do with the Purview is limited to university data, and especially data processed with Microsoft applications. Okay, we have of course a lot of data and files that has been there before this Purview implementation, but you don't have to worry about it, because as soon as the files are opened, they will be classified by default. And as Visa mentioned, the default class is confidential protected. What probably is good to know is that it's just a label. It does not check what kind of the content there is in the file. So it's exactly the same regardless of what kind of information the data files include. So Purview does not make any automatic scanning and classification for the data, and it does not understand anything about the content what is in the files. So basically the responsibility to select the correct classification is on users' side. So I encourage everybody to spend few seconds to think about the data that you are processing, what would be the right class for the data. And I believe that pretty soon it will be clear, and you can do it, let's say, pretty automatically. You don't have to spend a lot of time to discover what is the right classification. But of course, in the beginning, it might be a little bit harder, and you may need some help as well. When you change the classification, or when it is given as a default from the Purview side, it does not actually do a lot. The permissions are still mainly managed by giving access to the files, which you can do by yourselves. There are some classes. Those most strict classes are more limitations, and there you cannot give the access to the recipients as easily, or it can be even prohibited in some cases. I will come back to that later. But the basic idea is still that the permissions are given in each file that you are handling, or probably if you are working in Teams, the access comes if the people are added to a Teams group, and they can handle the files that are put on Teams group. One thing that is good to know is that when you send files or emails outside the university, the recipients actually do not know anything about the classification. They don't see any stamps or anything that could tell what is the classification of the data. The information of the classification is included in the metadata, of course, but it's at this point it's not utilized in the other organizations. We are of course planning to find a solution where it could be, at least in the university concept, it could be utilized in other universities as well, but currently it's not used. What kind of features Purview have and what we are using? Well, this data classification is clear. We have these sensitivity labels, which are those classes that we have been presenting. And there are some rules already included in these sensitivity labels. We could use also encryption for the data, on especially in the secret and confidential classes. And we had this feature on when we started. We were piloting, and even in the start of the of this production use, but we had to take it away because there are some problems in processing the data, especially when it's shared outside of universities. So we are currently, there is no encryption in which comes to Purview, but we are still studying and testing how we could take it into use later. Let's see when it happens. We really hope that we could utilize it because it's a nice feature, but there are still some problems we have to solve first. Data loss prevention is, let's say, one of the core features that Purview has. That's the way how we can define different kind of rules, what and how a certain class of data can be processed. In addition to those rules, there are so-called sensitivity infotypes, which is mainly, let's say, it's a feature where the Purview could try to find some kind of words, keywords, or strings from the content, so that it could be find if there is anything that is not meant to be in the files to be that are shared outside of the university, for example. But currently there are only a couple of those in use. For example, this Finnish HETU, which is social security number, which we try to find out if those are shared outside of university. Then this visibility of information, this content explorer, is one possibility to follow the what kind of data is in files, or what are actually shared or sent in email. But that is one feature that we don't easily use, and it is very restricted who has access to do this kind of actions. I would say that it's very rare cases that we have to do something and to try find out what is in the content of the files. It's very sensible area, and we are very careful with this kind of actions that probably will come in future in some problem cases. Data lifecycle is not implemented. We will not take it into use at all, I suppose. And then we have these audit logs, which helps us in information security find the probable reasons for any kind of incident that comes with data handling or data processing. Okay, then if we go a little bit towards the actual and practical use, here is this table where we have all those classes that Visa introduced, and on the right side there are those description of the limitations that belongs to each class. If we start from the bottom, in private class, the only limitation is that the data is not brought to Copilot processing. So Copilot does not see files or content of files that are labeled as private. Public open, well, as the name says, it's open. There is no restrictions. Public by law. We have prevented the actually it's possible to use these anonymous links, but the recipient cannot access the data behind the links which are anonymous, which means open links. So it's disabled. In internal class, is the same prevention of reading data through open links. And if you are sharing internal documents or links, especially if you are sharing links outside of university, you have to make justification why you are doing it. It's not restricted, but you need to justify. Confidential limited distribution. The only limitation is that the access via anonymous links is disabled, as in the other classes were already. Then confidential protected. If you need to share this kind of data outside of university by email, then you are forced to use secure email. Of course, anonymous links are disabled, and also if you share outside organization, the justification is needed. I have to say that if you find that something is not working as described here or in other our instructions, please just let us know so we can check what is the problem, probably with the feature, or is there something that we have configured badly. And then this secret class, Copilot is blocked, so anything that is in this class does not go to Copilot. And if this secret data is shared by email, you are forced to use a secure email with this pin verified feature function. Also saving on to network drive, OneDrive or SharePoint and external storage devices are disabled. This class is very challenging because this is the class that we should protect most. And to be honest, our environment and our capabilities currently to offer good, easily usable environment or ways to save the data is not the best possible. Of course, if the data is encrypted with Cryptomator, for example, or actually that's the tool that we offer in encryption, then it's possible to put the data also even in cloud. And I, as I said earlier, I hope that we can get this Purview encryption also into use in near future, and that would be make it much more easier to process also this secret class data. And the last slide, few words about data loss prevention. As I mentioned, the whole idea of the Purview is to help us to protect the data and prevent data loss and sharing it with wrong parties. So it controls the sharing and the transfer and the usage of the data. I already told about how it works. It's based on those classes and policies and also these DLP rules. And we will get alerts in our monitoring systems when something is happening which is not meant to happen. If something is, for example, tries to send or sends email or shares data that is not meant to be shared, then we get an alert. We are not yet done much of those rules that what we are going to follow. It will take some time to let's say learn the tool, and also we have to learn by ourselves also what are the things that we should take into account when there is something happening that's really is worth to investigate more. And if there is something bad going on and we have to initiate, let's say, investigation, which means that it's not done anymore automatically by the purview, but the humans are starting to investigate and look what has been happening, then it, as I said, we will do it strictly defined process, and there are only few people who has access to those the data that need to be checked, especially when it comes to content of the files. So it's, as I said, it will be very rare cases that where we will have we have to go to the content of the data, and typically we contact, of course, the people at those points. We don't do it without the discussion of the users. Okay, that was my part. I think it's time to give Timo make his presentation.
Thank you, Teo. All right, so I will be telling you how DLP policies will affect your emails and documents in practice. But before we go deeper in DLP policies, let's just see the purview, let's say front page. So in Uno, in Trem, if you search for purview, you will find user guide or Microsoft purview sensitivity labels. This is like front page for everything related to the purview. And you can find here a lot of documents helping you to use the purview. There is quick guide, test which you can take in Moodle, old Q&A, the DLP policies, how to provide justification, and how to label PDF files, and more. There are some features that are not currently in use, but hopefully we can get them, enable them later. So let's start with the DLP policies. They are on their own page. They will be described by the label and also by the software. So as you saw in the previous presentation, the same information is here. Creation unless limit is blocked, or sharing something outside of you is blocked unless you give the explanation. So let's start with the email. So when you are, let's say you have labeled your email confidential protected, and you are sending it to outside, like non-EU address, you will see a policy tip. This is currently in Finnish, but you should see this in English. It will just say that the confidential protected classified email or document, sending it to non-EU address and non-encrypted is blocked. You need to use secure email to send it. On Outlook app, it will look pretty much the same, only smaller. So it says one or more recipients are outside of the organization. Remember to use secure mail. And if you hover over the policy tip and click learn more, it will open you the instruction how to use the secure mail. Once again, this is in Finnish, but it should lead you to the English version of secure mail. And if it so happens and you accidentally try to send secret or protected category email to external address. You can try to send it, but it will be blocked immediately. And in about 15 to 30 seconds, you'll receive an email from Postmaster that your email message wasn't delivered, and you will see message details in here. And then you need to send it again, this time by using the secure mail. That's about all for email. Yes. Then we go to the documents. So when you have a document in OneDrive or SharePoint and you have labeled it internal or protected, you will see a red mark that it contains sensitive information and some commands aren't available. For you, of course, all commands are available. However, you will once again see a policy tip that sharing internal or protected labeled documents externally from OneDrive is temporarily blocked and will succeed only after you provide justification. And you can provide the justification either during the share, which you can go from here, or you can open the details tab and press the view policy tip. So during the sharing, when you want to share to the external address, it will again say, item contains sensitive information, it can be shared with people outside your organization. However, if you click on the view policy tip, it will give you more information. It will say that you cannot share the document externally from OneDrive unless you provide justification. So how do you provide the justification is that you override the policy. After you press override, it will open you a text box where you can describe . So for example, you need to share it with a friend or like another colleague outside of the university. So you provide the justification, you submit, and it says it takes a few minutes to override the policy. So you need to reopen the file and share it again after a few minutes. Usually it takes less than a few minutes, but here you can see already that the red dot is gone. And if I try to share it again, there is no more red warning that it cannot be shared with this user. If you try to share a document without providing justification, It will, you can once again try to do it. However, it will be blocked and you will receive email that says that the item is protected by a policy in your organization. And the access to item is blocked. And it will contain a link also to a document which you can open. And then you can once again provide the justification. So either from the share button here or by opening details. And well, I already overrided the document, but there should be like a follow step here where we can also do the share. That's about it for OneDrive and SharePoint. There is no visible DLP restrictions in Teams currently or in Power BI. Uploading data categorized as secret to AI services is blocked. So if you want are trying to upload data to OpenAI or any other AI service, that will be blocked. All right, so that's about it for DLP. In case you are a Windows user, you might find labeling PDF files interesting. And in university, we are supporting a PDF Exchange editor, which you can find in our software center. And after you open PDF file in the Exchange editor, you will go to the Protect tab, and you can click on Sensitivity, where you need to connect to Microsoft Preview. You will need to only do this once. So you will provide email, and you need to provide the short version of your email. You click next, and after that, as we can see here, you will see all the available labels. Other PDF programs, some of them like Adobe Acrobat support labeling, but we encourage the use of Exchange Editor because that's the supported application here. We may not be able to help with labeling and other PDF programs. Labeling of PDFs are not forced. So, yeah. Here's just the same that we just went through. So how to provide justification. In Purview. Yeah, okay, that's about it. And we also have here like what's new section. So there's like what's happening currently in Purview. So for example, when we send the informational email to you a couple of weeks ago, there was a guide on how to encrypt emails and documents with Purview. However, because we had to disable the encryption, it is not enabled right now. So basically, any current news is under the What's New section. All right, that's about it for me. We can now proceed to the questions and answers section.
Thank you, Timo. There's one addition I want to make about PDFs. When you label a document in Word, that same label remains in the file when it's converted to PDF. But if that PDF is later signed electronically, then the label doesn't stay there. That's because the electronic signature kind of locks editing of the PDF and removes some of the metadata that's included in the PDF document. And if the document has been signed electronically, you cannot add a label retroactively.
Yes, you don't have to worry about the the e-sign. Even if the e-sign removes the labeling from the PDF, there's nothing to worry about. That's fine.
Yeah, and it might actually be even better because the lifespan of signed documents might be quite long, and if the label later becomes faulty, it's better that it doesn't stay internal forever.